Dear friends, I'm happy to be together with you today as we keep on our study about this beast of Revelation chapter 13, the beast rising up out of the sea. We'll continue to see how it evolves and becomes of paramount importance in the rest of the events. May I propose we read together verses 4 to 6, Revelation chapter 13, verses 4 to 6. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Here is a beast which is assuming significant importance. In fact, the word used in Greek describing the universal worship he is subjected to is the verb proskyneo, meaning to prostrate oneself in homage, to worship. So the whole earth worships him. But have you noticed that it is said they bow down to the dragon? I do not think that there are many worshippers of the dragon, of Satan. And I do not believe that such a movement will spread to the entire world. But without realizing it, by worshipping the beast, the whole world will worship Satan. Worship his principles, his manners, his lies, and therefore we need to clarify, understand what is the problem we are facing here. The world will be subjugated, seduced, led to, and without realizing it, it will stand on the side of the enemy. Let's see how they will act. First, they will ask, "Who is like the beast?" We read this in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And this reminds us of the very name of Michael, which means, "Who is like God?" So, you see, on one hand, there are those who listen to Michael and say, "Who is like God?" And on the other, there are those who worship the beast and say, "Who is like the beast?" We understand that there is here a competition between the beast and God. But what is interesting to note are the reasons that prompts this worship. These reasons for worshipping the beast are given at the end of verse 4. Who is able to make war with him? Because finally, a beast, a system whatsoever it be, which receives a deadly wound such as received by the feudal system of the Middle East at the French Revolution, a system that receives such a wound, then being able to return to the forefront in terms of knowledge and recognition from the world's population to that extent is really a system that deserves universal adoration.
vraiment un système qui mérite une admiration universelle.
Well, this is what will happen. People will be appreciative, not about the truth concerning this system, but they will admire its power. Note that, historically speaking, we are still after the healing of the beast. Now, I invite you to look at what verse 5 has to tell us. Revelation 13, verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Arrogant words in French version. The Greek text says, great words. He utters incredible, outrageous words, and probably among those outrageous words, blasphemy. We have already seen the meaning of blasphemy. Blasphemy is in fact taking the place of God. The blasphemies Jesus was accused of were undeserved, but here, in this case, they are likely well-deserved. The beast takes his wishful thinking of being God as truth. But who hides behind the scene? It is still the dragon. Do you recall that prophecy of Isaiah 14 about this star which fell from heaven, saying, I will be like the Most High? Well, the dragon will drive humans to do the same. He already expressed this on Eve, saying, you will be like God. And now, he incites human institutions to say the same thing. About these blasphemies uttered now, while previously they were on the beast's head, they are now in his mouth. And we will see that progression is still going on. And one can tell that the claims of that system will become huge. Let's move on and consider those 42 months in verse 5. We are told that he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Well, this period of 42 months is exactly the same time duration we saw in chapter 12. It's still 1,260 days, still time, times, and half a time. The only difference is that if we follow the course of the text in verse 5, we are after the deadly wound and after its recovery. Therefore, we must try to understand whether a new period of 1,260 years of persecution is still ahead. If it were so, then the interpretation would be so terrible to think about. Nevertheless, even if this period of time is shorter, it will be a real hectic one. And therefore, we must know whether this time is a prophetic type, 1 day equals 1 year, or a literal type, 1 day equals 1 day. We have both types of prophecies in the Word of God. And I would like you to read some texts showing these two types of prophecies. My first text is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, verse 11. Jeremiah 25:11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. This bondage to the kingdom of Babylon actually lasted 70 years. From the late 7th century until about 530 BC, so exactly 70 years. We find the same prophecy in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 10, where we are told the following. Jeremiah 29:10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. It is the deportation suffered by the people of Israel when carried away by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. Several departures took place. However, since the first exile until the time when Cyrus authorized the people to return to the land of Canaan, there are exactly 70 years. I can show you another text in the book of Daniel where we have the same thing, Daniel chapter 4, verse 6. Therefore, I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. The interpretation of the dream will follow in verse 16. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. Seven times are 7 years. Nebuchadnezzar remained insane for 7 years. And then his sanity was restored, and he was able to take over the management of his kingdom again. Meanwhile, he was converted. This is another prophecy of seven times that lasted 7 years. Now, what texts can help us understand that a prophecy can be of type 1 day equals 1 year? Well, we have two main texts, and we will consider both. The first one is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 34. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. In the context of this account, when about to enter the promised land of Canaan, Israel sent spies into the country to check things, practically speaking. And the spies explore the country for 40 days. When they return, they marvel. The country is wonderful. And they bring back the fruits of the land of unparalleled beauty. But there is that one thing. The locals are giants. So, they become reluctant to go to war against these populations. Only two have an inverse report. Joshua, who will succeed Moses, and Caleb. And in that case, God says, "You do not want this country? Well, as you have explored this country for 40 days, you will explore the desert for 40 years. So what these men of God lived for 40 days, the people would live 40 years in the wilderness. A second text establishes the same principle. We can read that in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. God speaks to Ezekiel and makes him a living parable. Here is what God says. Lie also on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the numbers of the days that you lie on it, you shall bear their iniquity. For I have laid on you the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days. So you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, lie again on your right side. Then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year." Just as the people of Israel remain 390 years in sin, bound by sin, the prophet Ezekiel would remain bound by ropes 390 days, a terrible ordeal for the prophet. But the people had to be impressed. So, after 390 days, Ezekiel stayed bound for 40 days on the other side, corresponding to the 40 years of Judah's sin. We do still have here the same principle established, one day equals 1 year. Just like the people have sinned for 390 years and 40 years, the prophet Ezekiel would remain bound 390 days and 40 days. In other words, the prophet lives in short what the people lived in years. He lives it in days. So, we have a number of prophecies that are built on the same principle. Let me show you a few of them. If we turn to the book of Daniel chapter 8, verse 14, we read the following. Daniel 8, 14. And he said to me, for 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. These 2,300 evenings and mornings are actually 2,300 years ending on 1844 AD. We shall have the opportunity to talk about these things later. We have a second text in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10. This is the letter to the church of Smyrna. Smyrna is the church of the persecution period, the periods at the time of the Roman Empire. Here is what Jesus said, Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. The church actually suffered a terrible ordeal, the unparalleled persecution of Diocletian from 303 to 313 AD, date on which Emperor Constantine brought an end to. It lasted exactly 10 years, 10 prophetic days that brings us to the principle day year. In a nutshell, the principle established is what the people lived in years, the prophet will live in days. However, what would happen if the people become prophet? You may say, no similar situation has ever happened. Well, I invite you to read in the writings of Joel that this is possible. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. An amazing moment when the whole people becomes prophet. Young men, boys and girls, old men, servants, maids, with no distinction of class or age, the whole people is a prophet. And this being so, why would not that time duration that applied to a prophet people be literal? So we must ask ourselves the question, couldn't this time duration of 42 months mentioned in Revelation 13 correspond to a period when the people becomes prophet? This people is a prophet. This is what we shall try to see now. In Joel chapter 2, few verses before, it is spoken of the former rain and the latter rain. So when we turn to the book of Revelation chapter 8 verse 5, we see burning coals thrown to the earth. These coals, this fire thrown to the earth, is very similar to the tongues of fire that sat upon the disciples on the occasion of the Pentecost. This event is described in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And so we can understand that there is a double achievement. The former rain of the Spirit that was experienced at the beginning of our era, but there will be the latter rain, certainly even more abundant, which will be beneficial to the whole people. We are used to double fulfillments. Didn't Jesus say that what happened in Noah's time will happen likewise? What happened in the days of Lot will take place again? So, in his prophetic discourse of chapter 24 of Matthew, Jesus describes what will be the end, comparing the fall of Jerusalem and the last day's events. Now the question is simple. If these things must happen, don't we want to be part of the people who will receive the latter rain? To belong to these people where children, your old men, young men, servant maids, everyone will be filled with the Spirit? At that time, when temptation, when seduction will be huge, will not God's people need the Spirit, not only to see clearly, but to proclaim at that time a clear message? May God help us. May God give us the discernment to understand what has to be lived and what is to be said in such difficult circumstances.